welcome to today's show. Thank you for joining us. Don't forget to subscribe. And we're really excited to be here today. Greater Grace is an amazing church, and we're happy to be a part of it. And the Grace Hour show is meant to be a show where we kind of take a dive into the practical things of life, the daily challenges, and use our faith in a practical way. This week's show is about that God is the light of the world. And we are going to get a little nerdy today.
Yes, we are.
I'm really excited
about
it.
You are. I'm going to just kind of like follow along here.
I didn't even introduce us yet. I got so excited. My name is Liz Robbins, and I'm joined by my co-host, Roger Robbins. And we're going to be talking about how we can look at light in the scientific nature of light in creation, in nature, and also, of course, in the Bible and spiritually speaking, to just get a deeper awe of God and who he is. I really think we are going to do that today. So, quick outline before we dive in.
Yes.
As we were preparing for the show, we were just thinking about different ways that God is light. Mm-hmm. We know he's referred to as light in the Bible, which we're going to go over. And we had four ways we thought about considering the different kind of aspects that we can see deeper into God's nature mm-hmm. through light, or the idea of light. First is that God is the source of all life, that he is the energy behind creation. He is the design behind creation. Next is that God is a fully enlightened being, mm-hmm. And that he also provides enlightenment through his revelation. And then we have that, you know, you have light and then you have darkness. So God is purely light, meaning that there is no darkness, no evil in him. He is purely good. And lastly is that God is mysterious and invisible, and yet we see him in many ways, and we see his effects, and we see all things through him, right?
Yes.
So that's kind of the hopefully what we'll get to in these 45 minutes.
Yep.
So we have a lot to cover in a sense, but I think it's going to be a great show, so stick around.
Yeah. I mean, this topic, God is light, and what is light, and your first, the first heading again there, what was the first part again? Can you?
Yeah, that God is the source of all life, and he's like energy that's
like
behind
source,
creation.
I think we would start by just giving God all the due respect and honor. And I think when that phrase was given in the Bible and inspired by the Holy Spirit, God is light. Hmm. In 1 John 1:5. Is that, you know, he chose to reveal himself. He took the initiative, like we said last week. Mm. He chose to reveal himself to us. And number two, he gave us the ability or capacity to understand it. And I think that's really cool. Like, we're going to talk about light and our eyes and light, how it functions, right?
Yeah.
But like, we can clearly see that this is one of God's attributes. And a lot of scholars out there would name this a non-moral attribute, and that this attribute is more like his nature. It's an essence. Hmm. It's through and through, like you said. It's 100%, has no start and has no finish. So that really makes us scratch our heads.
Yeah.
But if you kind of just like sit in the awe of it for a minute, you go, oh, that's really how creation happened. He really like unveiled himself, and through the power of light and energy, like really things came to be.
Yeah.
And you tailor that, or not tailor that, but you put in tandem with his word and his light. And suddenly we have creation taking shape. And as we see in the Bible, all the words for light that describe God, who he is, and there's two sides to it. There's physical light, but then there's the spiritual light. The physical side of it is like what God creates and has limitations, right? Like something is created and it's sustained, but then it ends. Mm. That's physical light. But what we see in the attribute of God is spiritual light, which is through and through pure essence, pure holiness. And the Greek word, for light here, actually, it stems from the word divine. So I think that, like, really, when you look at that, I think that sits with me. And so the one verse I just want to bring up to our attention is First Timothy 6:16. And it's the end of the letter there where Paul is writing to Timothy. And he says, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion.
Wow.
Amen. You know, like, he has chosen to do this and we would never see it. And I think that was your fourth point and last one that we'll get to,
yeah,
is what a mystery this is.
Well, and it's cool that you have that phrase there, unapproachable light.
Yes.
Because that is something that when thinking about the nature of light, and I did some research about it, and we have in the past, actually, because we have a good friend who is an atomic physicist.
Yes.
Thomas, who lives in Budapest.
Dr. Thomas Clark.
Yes. And he has blown our minds with his own knowledge of light,
yeah,
and quantum physics and the theory of relativity and things that you would think have nothing to do with the Bible, nothing to do with God, but actually he really loves to talk about how light is in a way like the closest you can get to the divine in the created world. And so some of the reasons for that, one is what you just mentioned, which is this unapproachable light, which of course the author was not a physicist.
Well, and also, and I'd like to add, the Greek word says no one can see. The word unapproachable really means no one can see this.
Okay.
It's because, like, where it comes from.
So according to my very small research, I am not an expert on this, but I do know an expert that I can send you to if you want more on this. But, you know, in the universe, there's very predictable laws in the universe. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is because of the universal constant that is the speed of light and light itself.
Okay.
It is a universal constant. And actually, you know, I often tell my kids that time is a constant, meaning, like, you know, don't be late, like, give yourself more time. But actually, time is not a constant the way that light is, because time can be actually warped, like the time-space continuum, like it can be warped. Okay. So I'm going to not be too nerdy, but my point is this: the speed of light is incredibly fast, and there's only light that can go the speed of light. So nothing in the universe besides light can go the speed of light.
And why is that?
The reason for that is because as the mass of something, or as the speed of something increases, its mass also increases. So I'm going to read it so that I get it perfectly right, because I don't want to get anybody upset that I'm saying this in the wrong way.
This kind of being a scientific conclusion that we gleam off of, and now we're kind of inserting in as we think about light, right? Like, that's what we're saying here.
Right. So as an object approaches the speed of light, its observed mass becomes infinitely large. And as a result, an infinite amount of energy would be required to make the object move at the speed of light. For this reason, it's impossible for any matter to travel the speed of light.
Wow.
So light is the only thing that can travel the speed of light. And in a similar way, we talked about how God is righteous and God is holy. He is set apart. That's what the word holy means.
Mm-hmm.
And in his righteousness, we cannot approach him.
Mm-hmm.
Just the way that anything created could never get to the speed of light, even if you got to 99.99% the speed of light, you would still never have any hope of actually going the speed of light.
Because your mass.
It's unapproachable.
Wow.
Because you have mass. Even the tiniest, tiniest little particles become too infinitely large.
Wow.
So it just kind of boggles the mind. And I think that's the point, is that we are supposed to sit back and scratch our heads and go, this is something in the universe, the created universe, that we do not understand. And yet we see that it is the source of life.
Right.
Because we know that you cannot have any life without light.
Yeah.
And that it is sheer energy. Like, it's invisible. Light is invisible. It's massless. It has no mass.
That's just amazing.
Just think about that. Like, it doesn't have any mass. Like, everything else in the entire universe has mass.
Yes.
And it does not. And yet light is everything.
Yes.
It is absolutely essential, foundational, unchanging, universally constant.
And you mentioned
it's
that.
It's like we're just talking about God, but we're talking about
mean,
light.
Universally constant. Like within the universe, this is something that can and does not change.
It can never change in every situation, in space, you know, in outer space, on Earth, underwater, under pressure, no pressure, in a vacuum. Hmm. It never changes. The speed of light never changes.
It's amazing.
And when we think about God and who he is as a being, he is unchanging.
Yes.
He is a constant, and nothing else is in the entire created universe.
Right. It says that in James 1:17, there is no shadow.
No shadow of changing.
No variation. And that really, that variation, we could, to our eye, we can't even fathom that, that there's variation. There could be no variation. Like, how is it possible that you do not possess a shade of darkness, a shade of not even darkness, let's just say a shade of something a little less than perfection or unchangeableness. That's amazing.
It is incredible. And it does lead to the next idea, which is that God is purely good, that he, exactly what you just said, he is not like mostly good or 99.99%, but there is no darkness in him. There is no evil in him. He is purely and completely good.
Yeah. And so how would you, didn't we talk about it being, he's purely good because he's purely wise, right? Did we talk?
Yeah, no, we haven't.
Okay.
Yeah. I was thinking that it's good to consider how this connects to his righteousness and his holiness, because his goodness is so, it's so important that we're convinced of this. Like in the journey of my faith, the times when my faith is most shaken for me personally is when I start to wonder, is God really good?
Right.
I never doubt that God is all powerful. I never doubt that he is everywhere present.
Right.
I those are not the things I struggle with.
Right. But is
man,
there a shadow?
Is he good? Is he good?
Yeah. I mean, is there some sort of not good about
yeah,
him?
Yeah. Is there some intention there that is not the best intention?
Yeah. Because God said to the disciples in Matthew 17, when he looked at his son and spoke to him, he said, listen to him.
Yeah.
This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Like, look at him and listen to him. You know, you have to hear what he has to say.
Yeah. And when we see in John 1, which is such an incredible passage that describes in many ways the nature of God as is revealed through Christ, it talks about how he is the Word. The Word was with God, and he was in the beginning with God, which we know in Genesis 1 that this was when God spoke light into existence, and it was the beginning of the universe. And it says that in verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And then in verse 9, it says, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. And I was just marveling at that verse before we started, because again, similar to the nature of light, that like the whole universe was made beginning with light. And all that we see, like we're living and breathing today, anything in the universe can say that it owes its existence to God. And yet, the world was made through him and did not know him.
Yes.
And I think that's humbling for us. And that's why we're hoping this whole episode really will just be like an opportunity for us to be like humbled and awed.
Yeah.
Really just awed
by like,
God.
It sounds like a reality check, right? Like, I don't have enough light within me to generate what it would take to see, to continue living.
Yeah.
Like what you're saying is that anything that is created is codependent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it cannot, there is no light within me.
Yeah.
Like it's without me.
Yeah.
And God has revealed that to me. So if there is a limitation on my end, that is so humbling. Like that's a reckoning, so to speak, to just being like, well, who is that? Who has that real light or that true light? And I think that's the word, that's the idea here, is like it's true light. The Bible talks about the true light. You know, there's different types of light.
Sure.
There's, you know, like, so I think that we could say for a minute, like there's counterfeits. There's other types of light.
Or even that they're not, because everything is still dependent on God.
Right.
But
or comparable, maybe.
I would say like that there's pure light that reveals everything and makes all things clear. Mm. And in the world, there's a lot of blurriness. There's a lot of, you know, not that like maybe a little flashlight that's like trying to get a sense of what the universe is about. Imagine trying to like discover the universe with a flashlight.
Yeah.
Like that would,
well,
you wouldn't get an accurate view of things, yeah. Right? And I think a lot of like wisdom in the world, if we want to talk about wisdom as that third thing, there's a lot of wisdom in the world and much of it is genuinely good, right. and wise, but if it's not owing itself and giving credit to wisdom himself, then it's partial. Mm-hmm. It can give you a partial view. Mm-hmm. Of the world. But in order to see things clearly, we want like the light of God, like the light himself, mm-hmm. to enlighten our eyes, right? Enlighten our hearts.
Well, that was the word that's used here. Omnisapience.
Yeah.
Omnisapience.
Roger found a new word I'd never heard before.
I had heard it, but I don't think I ever knew how to pronounce it correctly.
Yeah.
Omnisapience or sapient. Sapient means wise. But omni is all, so all wise. Omnisapience is someone who possesses all wisdom.
Mm.
And why that relates to enlightenment and light,
yeah.
is that in order to be the true light, you have to possess in wisdom the very best and most wise of all plans and mm-hmm. still possess all the very wisest outcomes.
Yeah.
Like, for example, you know, like to turn the light on, let's just say to switch the light on.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who is all sapient mm-hmm. or omnisapient or yeah. all wise would know the very effects, all of the effects of what light would do to what it does, like wherever it is revealed and brought into.
Mm-hmm.
So when light is revealed, whoever flicks it on,
yeah.
being the owner of that light or revealer of that light and possessor of that light,
yeah.
he would know the very start of it and he would know the end result of it.
Yeah.
And know that it's the very best, that there is not a better equation that could account other than that person.
And to go further with that, if you think about it, like if someone were to turn a light on in a room that was full of a bunch of objects, because that light is coming from one place, you would still have shadows.
Right.
You would still have corners that aren't fully revealed.
Mm-hmm.
But when we think about who God is, it's not like turning on a light.
Yes.
It's like flooding every single nook and cranny of every single thing with complete and full light, so mm-hmm. that everything is revealed. Like we know that God promises, like everything is going to come into the light. Yeah. Everything will be revealed.
Yes.
And how can he say that? It's because he is the light. And we were reading in Revelations, which is what we have to look forward to in the future.
So good. That's a good one.
Right? In Revelations 1, why don't I read Revelations 1 and then you do the really good one at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Revelations 1 was the one I was thinking of as we were studying, and then you found the follow-up. So we know it says in Revelations 1, this is John's vision of the Son of Man, and we see that in verse 16 it says that in his right hand he held seven stars, from his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength.
Mm.
So the Son of Man's face is like the sun shining in full strength.
Wow.
It's incredible. Like it's speaking to just the nature,
yes.
of God, that
yes.
when you stand in his presence, there is no opportunity for darkness, and he has no questions.
Yeah.
Because everything is revealed.
It's
he's not wondering what's behind that corner or in that shadow.
And we can say clearly that God, this I don't think we could say that has this ever happened in human history where we've had such a revelation of light. Like maybe you could say at the beginning of creation when God said, let there be light, there was like, you know, what seemed to exist had its full impact.
Yeah.
But like since then, since darkness came into the world, have we seen like the full light revealed? Seemingly, it looks like in our eschatology, we haven't. Well, we haven't seen
and the, I think it's,
other than Jesus, but Jesus was clothed in humanity.
Right,
if he were to be like fully revealed.
Yeah, because like when on the road to Damascus, Paul was blinded by
just
Christ.
Just an inkling of that light.
And I think that it also speaks to the grace of God that he is withholding the full brightness of his light.
Perhaps
until
why he
that
said
day.
To Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, this is an unapproachable light.
Yeah, yeah. So read those Revelation verses.
Cause after, really good. After all that happens in the end times and we are there with God in the new heaven, new Jerusalem, it says in 21:23 of Revelation, actually we go to verse 22, and I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. And the city had no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb.
Wow.
It's like
the Lamb of
there
God.
Will be no need for a physical sun, because you will have a spiritual sun.
And doesn't it say that there will be no opportunity for...
Yeah, and by its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. And they will bring into the glory the honor of the nations, and nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Like that is what, when God is fully revealed and he is not covering up any aspects of himself, that is what it will be like. And like you said, it has yet to ever happen on earth that we would see God in his full, you know, like the shining sun at midday at full strength, because we can't stand before him.
Right.
Yet, you know, and what's amazing is that we know that Jesus was the light of the world and he was the word that took on flesh. And we know that it says that his word is a lamp unto our feet. Right. So it's like, and that's light. He's a light unto our path.
Yeah.
But we don't have that full revelation yet.
Yeah.
But we can today be enlightened.
Like, by it.
I love that word because... We're talking about a being, God Almighty, who is fully enlightened. There is no darkness. There's nothing there's nothing hidden from him. Nothing can be can be covered up. Right? Mm-hmm. We rest in that today, living in a broken world where there are many things hidden. Mm-hmm. The injustices are mounting up as the days go by, as history marches on, the anger that we can feel towards the unjust world that we live in, we are comforted knowing that God sees it and it will all come to the light and it will all be dealt with because of who he is.
And doesn't that just hit home on the whole idea of justice and who's really the just one? Who's the greatest judge of them
right,
all?
Right. Like imagine I'm picturing a human judge and he's got this like puny little flashlight and he's trying his best to like make the right call.
Yes.
You know, you're wrong. You're guilty. 15 years in prison for you. You know, this and that. And we have earthly judges who are doing their best with the abilities
with the light that they're given.
With the light that they have. Yeah. But then there's God who will not just turn on one light. He will just light up the entire universe so that nothing is...
At his speed that no one can run with.
Like,
no one can run in step with that speed, right?
Right.
No one can outrun that speed. Like, no one is going to be able to outrun that justice, right? The speed and swiftness.
That's good.
And the cleanliness of that power, like that energy as it goes out.
Yeah.
Like it says, I think it's Revelation 6, that kings of the earth will be hiding under the clefts of the rocks, saying, fall on me, because I don't want to face the light, you know, the Lamb.
Yeah. So, that's an incredible like comfort. Right?
It is, right.
And then coupled with that comfort is hope because of what these verses you just read, that there will be a time when there won't even be any more night.
Yeah.
There will be no opportunity for a darkness to exist.
Before we keep talking about, we want to talk about Jesus and light, right? Mm.
Well, I did want to talk about just how enlightenment and how we can have today, even though we
that's
don't.
That's what I want to talk about.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So there's the verse in Romans 1, and this is the antithesis. This is that people who walk in ungodliness and unrighteousness, it says that their foolish hearts have been darkened, okay? And he gives them up to the lusts of the flesh. But then we see in Ephesians 1:18, this is an amazing verse. Actually, the verse before it, 17, says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might. So this is saying that we can have our hearts enlightened by the wisdom and the revelation of the knowledge of him.
Yes.
So revelation, right? Things are revealed. This is again speaking to, it's related to light. He's revealing things to us. Our hearts can be enlightened.
Mm-hmm.
We can have insight. Like the word wisdom, the other word for wisdom is insight. Mm-hmm. And you can see into things, like you were saying, like the end of you can see the end of the road, the outcomes. That's all like God's ultimate enlightenment that we don't have that yet, but he gives us his enlightenment in the world today.
Yes.
As believers.
Wasn't there,
which is like, we get to partake in this nature that he is light. This is how through his word, through prayer, through worship, that he enlightens our hearts. And it's like this.
Proverbs 29:13, the poor man and the oppressor meet together and the Lord gives light to the eyes of both.
Yeah.
Like he can do this and he has. And I was thinking as you're talking about enlightenment, Jesus says early on in Matthew 5, you are the light of the world.
Mm.
It has always fascinated me that he says to the people, you know, in this beatitude, this amazing discourse that happens in the beginning of Jesus's ministry, right? Like this is a great crowd that assembles on the Sermon of the Mount, right? Like this is the beginning of his ministry, and he says, "You're the light of the world." You know what I mean? Like he doesn't say, "I'm the light of the world." I mean, he does say that. He says that in John 8 and John 9.
Yeah,
but like he's like. It says in verse 14, you are the light of the world. You know what I mean? Like, it's so
incredible.
Amazing. Like, why would you say that to me? Like, like how me? Like you would tell me you.
And
would,
how can we be the light of
like,
the world?
He's like, yes, I'm going to reveal the secrets of my Father to you. You know, like it's the little children that come to me that I'll show them the will of the Father. You know, it says later in Matthew 11. So I just, that has always stuck with me that that's when you look at the Greek and Hebrew words for light, the other characteristic that I see or that stands out is that it's always a light giver. It's kind of like it's not the original the original noun itself, but it's like, it's added on to the noun, given a tense. Mm. And really what it is like a light bearer, light giver, light, like a light illuminator. Like, and I think really, I think maybe in heaven, one of the things that will be so marveled and just really like blessed with is like the real intent of what light is. Like we see its usefulness and we see its like, it's, we see its worth because of what we have been allowed to like let enter into us.
Mm.
But really God is looking into us saying, no, you, I'm going to give you light and you're going to give this light. Like it's actually what you give,
yeah.
You know, it's not so much what you see and what you like, you take in as much as what you're going to be able to give. You're going to be able to be a light for me.
Yeah.
And I think that's like amazing. And I think maybe when we get to heaven, or in maybe some way here on earth, and maybe we have like in some way, like realize that the nature of light is also to be a reflection.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like to somehow reflect this amazing wonder.
Yeah. And I think also that light is meant to be useful. It's very practical, yeah. Right? So if we have enlightenment, meaning that God's given us wisdom for life today, you know, we're talking about practical ways to use our faith. God is revealing things to us, and we have now, we're no longer the blind leading the blind.
Yes.
So the Bible often talks about the eyes, and it's really cool when you think about, okay, if God is light, then think about how you were created. Like, you were created with eyes, and eyes are specifically designed for light.
Yeah.
If there's no light,
yeah,
then you are blind.
Yes.
I don't know if anyone's ever been in like actual total darkness. Like, I've gone spelunking where you're in a cave and then you just turn off the lights. There's no chance ever of you being able to see.
Yeah.
It's total darkness. There's not a single ray of light.
And you're opening your eyes even more. You're like, if I just open my eyes more, maybe I would gather.
You put your hand in front of your face and you don't see your hand. So we were created for God, right? We were created for him and through him and by him are all things created, right?
And then that's how like it's meant to be here, right?
Yeah. The light, you know, I mean, this is what people figured out. Like, I think it was not until like the 1300s or something that we started to have glasses to help people see, because people understood that it was the light coming into the eyes and people having eye conditions and things like that.
And before, the understanding was that we broadcasted out light.
Yeah, like we had light like in us somehow. Yeah. Yeah, that was like the Greek idea. But wow. Light comes into our eyes. I mean, if you think about how eyes work, it's really wild. I mean, one of the reasons I love science as much as I do is because it is so humbling. And in a way, there's like an absurdity to how designed we are. Like, an eye is so incredibly complex that it would take in light. And not only that, but light is bouncing off of objects in a way so that we can see objects. So like, light itself is invisible, right? We said that already. Light is an invisible force that's made up of electromagnetic energy. It has no mass. It's invisible. And yet you see everything around you because of it. And if there was no light, there first of all would be no life.
Yep.
But also you wouldn't see anything.
Yeah.
So think about how God is just so all-encompassing. Like, yes. He is so, so huge and so much bigger than we are.
Yeah.
And we should never forget that. And like the simple design of an eyeball taking in light, that it's designed exactly for that, and then your brain is designed to translate light signals into images in your mind. Like, it's really God showing off. I think when we study light, because I was looking up all the interesting research going on about light, and you know, Albert Einstein was huge. He had like the theory of relativity and E equals MC squared. Mm-hmm. C is the speed of light, right? M is mass. E is energy. So basically he was studying light. Mm-hmm. But we've had since Einstein still much debate, because you really can't nail down light. Mm-hmm. People are still very confused by light. It has like two dual natures. Like, sometimes it's a wave and sometimes it's a particle. You can't really look at it. Mm-hmm. Now we know that we have the visible spectrum of light,
and then we have all the invisible.
Yeah. So think about how God has revealed himself to us.
Partially.
But if he were to reveal himself, like just be light fully, we would not be able to stand.
Yeah.
So he's given us this little visible spectrum of who he is, which is like the word of God. It's creation. Like, we get to know God, but we don't know him fully. We have not seen God fully revealed, and that's his grace towards us. But we should be so humble that the visible spectrum of light that we have is just yes. a part, like the what we know of God, you know?
And I think like it's that humility is what gives us more light in our life. Don't you think so? Like, as we just kind of like kicking this around, mm-hmm. like two like kids on the block.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like we're getting more light from the conversation, and it's all in part because of like just putting God in his rightful place, you know, to the best of our abilities, to the most humble and, right. you know, it's not perfect. Right. You should really honor God this way. You should glorify God this way. It's like, no, I'm just trying to do what I can within me with what light I've been given.
Yeah.
I am going to give back to him.
And when you say that, you're actually knowing him more accurately, right? Like to say that I don't know God fully, I'm not able to yet, is to have a more accurate view of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
like rightful place.
Yes. Like this rightful, that there, I am limited and he is limitless. Mm. So I can understand him because he desires to be understood. He desires to be known. So he has revealed himself to us. But to understand that there is still so much mystery in God, and the scientists who are studying light, they are like at the very edges of what is knowable. They're pushing the limits. And I guarantee you, they're all very aware that they have no idea. I mean, we harness light. We use the predictable nature of light all the time, but we still don't know.
Mainly just based upon the sun, right?
Yeah. And but we still don't know how it works. Mm-hmm. It's just like you're walking around using your eyes, but you have no idea how they work.
Yeah.
And this is the world. This is the state of the world. Walking around because of God, existing, breathing, loving, you know, eating, all of the things that we're doing because of God and yet not knowing him. And that's what we want to never forget, that like we get to know him as much as we're able to. And let's do that. Like, let's keep walking in it.
And I think, you know, now like let's just look at Jesus in this amazing light, right? Like, we know that he came in with grace and truth. And now it makes so much sense, doesn't it? In light of this conversation, like, wow, God was so, you know, God was so gracious to us that he didn't consume us. Like, you know, Moses is talking to God like, no. If you would just consider like, let me go talk to him, you know, before you reveal your anger and your wrath upon them, you know, and that him coming, and they couldn't even, he had to hide his face from them because it shone so brightly, right? But think about like Jesus having the willingness and humility in his mind to come in the form of a servant and to disguise himself in one sense, but in also an incredible another sense. It was an amazing gift to us that he would come in the form of a man.
Yeah.
Like, okay, it's one thing to disguise yourself from the very power that you possess, right? But he was so wise in that he knew that I have to become like them for them to understand me and to really grasp. There's no other being I could possibly be for them to really grasp who I am and how much I love for them. Mm. I have to be like them. And like, I think that in a way, I mean, when I think about heaven, and my son has been asking me nonstop about heaven.
Yeah.
And one of the things, and I think I mentioned this last week, is like, I really look forward to going to heaven to get like this speed of light, like view of things, like God's view.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think that this is going to be one of the most just never ending entertainments that we all get to see. Because you were talking about the speed of light, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and you want to maybe talk about this for 1 second, like how much did Jesus have to slow down if he is the light of the world?
Yeah.
That when he came to the earth, that he had to slow down.
Yeah.
That was like, remember we were talking about that? Like,
well,
let's
actually, cause the, when I mentioned that time isn't constant.
Yes.
That's one of the things that when I looked up the nature of light, today we're not anywhere near like time travel. I don't think we will be, but the closest that we can get to time travel is something called time dilation. And I want to find it because, again, I don't want to say it wrong. But basically, if something gets going the speed of light or close to the speed of light, it warps time. Mm-hmm. And so for us, it would look like that thing is going insanely fast, right? Close to the speed of light. But for that thing that's traveling that speed, we are all going like super, super slow, like 40 times slower than we really are, something like that. So what that means is if God is going the speed of light, then mm-hmm. nothing, like he's not rushed. Like there's just, there's no way that we can like kind of sneak up on him or, you know, he's so beyond that. Like you were saying, like, so when Jesus becomes a man, it's like,
he has to slow down.
He's like, going so slow.
I'm light, you know, and to think that he was so gracious in giving us, what a gift.
Yeah.
And even in doing it, he nailed it so perfectly.
Yeah.
Right? Like all wisdom, all knowing, he had the best plan. Peter's like, no, this is not a good plan. Do not go to the cross. He's like, no, it's the perfect plan. It's light. It's light. You know what I mean? Like I have covered every base. Yeah. I am the omniscience in flesh.
Yeah.
And this is the light. You know, so I think cool. like to all of us out there kicking this around and like chewing on this.
Feel free to Google the nature of light, guys, because it is
a good time.
It really is. It's, and the people who are studying these things, they must know that they are hitting up against the spiritual because they are just dealing with the unseen.
Right.
They're just handling, you know, manipulating if they can the unseen and yet it's real.
Yes.
Like it's real.
It's so there. So yeah.
Light is invisible and it is real. And by it, we see everything. We know there's a quote from C.S. Lewis that is very similar. And as he said that, I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it, I see everything else. Hmm. So I don't have to understand light to acknowledge that I need it to see everything else. And in the same way, I don't have to fully understand God to be humble enough to know that I need him in order to see anything at all.
Wow.
Like if I desire to see anything accurately, to know anything accurately, to believe in something, it's through God. It's only through God that I have that opportunity. And even though he is so beyond my understanding, you could learn and learn and learn and still be scratching your head at the end of the day. You still know enough to know that you need him completely. Mm. Like without him, you have nothing to see. Mm. And with him, you can see everything.
Wow. Amazing. Where do we go from there? I think that's it.
The rest of the week is going to be about this topic. I don't know if anyone's going to get as nerdy as we did. I held back, guys. I really did. But if this is something that interests you, please enjoy reading more about the nature of light. But just continue to tune in. Don't stop listening. We got more for you. Remember to subscribe wherever you listen, Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, and more. And tune in tomorrow to hear more about how God is the light of the world.